This recording is from Willow Creek Church in Winter Springs, Florida, where Dr. Pete Allinson is our senior pastor. Today's sermon is part two in a series called Christians Unleashed. This message is titled Revolutionary Perspective. And now here's Pete with today's message.
Our Father, we do come into your presence today as your people, and we declare that that ultimate principle, that ultimate reality, that you do reign over all. And today, on the first day of the week, we want to remember that together as a family, and remember as a people that you are in charge, that you are the God who created this world. You spoke and it was done. And Lord, you are the creator over all, but you're also the provider and redeemer and the sovereign God of heaven and earth. And Lord, today we come and we declare that we know that all of history, all of our lives is in your hands. That today we remember clearly that history is your story, not ours. And that, Lord, we don't know what's going to come, but we do know that you're in charge. Help us to remember that too, Lord, as we come before you. Because, Lord, today we come and we bring the challenges of our life. The challenges of business, of family, of work, the stresses, the strains, the opportunities, the challenges. And, Lord, you know everybody in this room. You know those who are underemployed or those who don't have jobs at all and those who are doing well right now and those whose struggle is not financial but struggle that might be emotional or relational or something from the past that has just come up again. Lord, you know everyone in this room and you know why we're here and what you want to accomplish in our lives. Thank you that as your children, you tailor make our lives and draw us close to you. Lord, thank you that you flesh out all of history through the prophets, and we're a part of building your kingdom right now. That these are the days of Elijah. And so, Lord, we ask that you would continue to teach us and work in our lives. Lord, you know the needs here, and today, Lord, I lift up those who need you. And in the midst of a changing economy, I pray, Lord, for grace, for strength, for jobs, Father. We pray, Father, for those who need healing. I think of Mike and Lord, just that need for healing in his life. Father, for the unborn, for the innocent, who need our protection, oh Lord. Build us today, Lord, as we look into your word, that we would be people who you use in a mighty way to change this world for the better. And to the end that we would be open to what you'd have to say, we pray for the one who teaches that you'd forgive him his sins. And use one who is finite to communicate your infinite truth. Today, our desire is to hear your voice in our lives. And we pray these things in the strong name of our risen Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, take them and turn to Deuteronomy. That's going to be our starting point today. But let me bring you up to speed as to where we're at as a church family. Every fall, we start out with a series. When school starts, that kind of begins our ministry year. And so we begin a series every fall to sort of remind us who we are as a church so that we'll keep going in the same direction as a church. I have many opportunities when I go do men's seminars to go to different churches. And I find that all churches have one thing in common. And one of them, and that one thing we have in common is we're made up of multiple personalities, and we all want to build the kingdom, and we all are passionate about different things. And so it's very easy for a church to be going in so many different directions. Sometimes when I get picked up at the airport and taken to the church where I'm going to speak, you hear little things. People talk about their pastors, and of course they all love their pastors, and they talk about a new program they're starting, or they talk about this or that, but I find that churches can be really easily diluted as people go in different directions. We can almost be like little rivulets or drops of water that don't water much of anything because we're all going in different directions. And so that's why at the beginning of the school year, the ministry year, we want to make we talk about some of the core values that we have as a church so that we'll go in the same direction and hopefully make a greater impact together as God's people, but also that we'll enjoy following Christ together. Now, it hasn't changed for 21 years. Our motto, attempt great things for God, expect great things from God. That's our motto. And we have been about trying to make a difference in this community for a long time, and our purpose is the same. We're a Christ-centered Presbyterian church committed to leading people to personal faith in Christ, building them up in the faith, and deploying them as active servants of the Great Commission. So that's been our purpose. It still is our purpose, and that's who we are as the church. We are to be revolutionaries who are unleashed on the world to make a difference in the world. That's who we are. Now let me tell you what we're not. As a church, we are not a holy huddle of perfect people that have gathered together in this place to just for a little while get away from them out there. We're not a holy huddle of perfect people who just can't wait to be away from pagans. And no, that's not what we are. In fact, as a matter of fact, somebody sent this email to me. It was really a very nice PowerPoint presentation, but I'm just going to give you the bottom line here. I'm not going to share that very nice PowerPoint with you, but they said the next time you think God can't use you, remember the people in the church. Noah was drunk. Abraham was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Leah was ugly. I didn't say that. That's what this is. Joseph was abused. Moses had a stuttering problem. Gideon was afraid. Samson had long hair and was a womanizer. Jeremiah and Timothy were too young. David had an affair and was a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. Isaiah preached naked. That's why I don't preach from Isaiah too much around. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. Peter denied Christ. The disciples fell asleep while praying. Martha worried about everything. The Samaritan woman was divorced more than once. Zacchaeus was too small. Paul was too religious. Timothy had an ulcer. And Lazarus was dead. We're made up of all kinds of people. We think God can't use us, but He can. But the thing we must always remember is that we're not a bunch of totally together, perfectly spiritual people. We're the church. We're in process. And yet I love it. God wants to use people. God has always used people just like I read about to change the world. He has always taken the insignificant and used them in a powerful way. Now, another thing we're not is that we're not a social club that just gathers together every once in a while to see friends. We're not just a social club. We are fomenting a revolution. That's who we are. And sometimes we forget that that's who we are as a church. We're a bunch of revolutionaries who've got together, and God is using us to change the world. And we're not here to do the same thing year after year after year in the same way that we always did before. I tell you the story of the two moose hunters who flew to Canada to hunt moose, and their pilot took them back into the wilderness and dropped them off, picked them up in 2 weeks, and there they were, the two hunters and two moose that they had shot that day. And he said, "I told you guys, we can't take two moose. I mean, two of you and me and one moose each. That's all this plane can handle." I said, "Well, that's what we did last year. We went hunting. We got two of us, two moose. The same size plane got us out of there last year." He goes, "Well, okay. Well, if it happened last year, I guess we can do it this year." And so, all right. So he loaded them up, and they tried to take off, but they couldn't make it. They couldn't get the altitude. They crashed the plane. The two hunters crawl out of the plane. One hunter says to the other, "Where are we?" And he goes, "I don't know. I think we're about half a mile further than we were last year." That drives me crazy. I become suicidal. When I, not really, I'm kidding, okay? But It drives me crazy to think we've only made it a half mile further. As the revolutionaries, the revolution ought to be getting further and further and further every year. And by God's grace, that's who we are. People that want to continue to make progress. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results, right? So God's called us to foment a revolution. And you guys, and I'm a part of that together. So we come together at the beginning of the ministry year to kind of get those core principles together. Last week when we started this Unleashed series, we talked about the motivation of our hearts. And we said that the starting point for a revolution is that the revolutionaries have the right starting point. Your motivation is everything. What you are motivated to do is what you will most likely do. And if you don't have motivation, if I don't have motivation, or if my motivation is impure, or if my motivation is selfish, the starting point is bad, the results will always be bad. So we said that motivation is absolutely crucial. And there is no motivation more powerful than the motivation we talked about last week. Does anybody remember what that revolutionary motivation is? What did I talk about last week? Oh man, that's scary. Anybody? Good. You get three free sins. That's good. The motivation that we talked about last week is this whole idea of revolutionary love. The reality is that when Jesus Christ came into this world, he came because he loved us. And remember we looked at John 13? We looked at John 13 where Jesus was gathered with his disciples shortly before he goes to the cross. And what was it that he was going to do for them in that room? Does anybody remember? John 13, he was going to do what? Wash their feet. And we looked at that. He said, having loved his own who was in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. And he starts to unfold the fullness of his love by washing those dirty, rotten, sandal, leather, sandy, sweaty, dirty feet of his disciples. And then he allows himself to be arrested. And then he allows himself to be interrogated by these super spiritual Pharisees. And then he allows himself to be scourged and beaten. And then he allows himself to be nailed, spread eagle on crossbeams, the Lord of the universe. Why? To show us the full extent of his love for us. And that if we ever get God's love for us, if we ever understand deep down the unconditionality of all of that, we will be radically changed people. Because those who are unconditionally loved, love unconditionally. Loved people love. And we said, as we defined love, that love as Jesus models it is egoless compassion in action. And that changes the world. But our motivation, our starting point has got to be everything. Now, can we talk? Do you all feel God's love in your heart? Do you all feel loved by God right now? A lot of you don't. I know it. Because I know Christians and I know myself. This week, Steve Brown and Kathy Wyatt and Eric Guzman and myself on Key Life got to interview John Eldridge over the phone in God's Country, Colorado. And we were talking to him about this book I'm reading, Walking with God. Talk to him, hear from him, really. And I said, John, you know, one of the things that I see in this book that you said, I'm not sure I understand, is you say, sometimes we make agreements with God. Agreements not to be loved. What do you mean? And he said, you know, what I mean is simply this, that from our past, somebody who said you're not worthy or you're not good enough or you'll never achieve this or you go through the difficulty or a pain of something in your life, a loss, a sickness, you name it. John Eldridge says, what we do is we make agreements with God and we say, I'll never be loved. I know it. I just know it. I will never be loved, and so we don't let in the love of God for us. We've made an agreement. And a lot of Christians go through much of their Christian life getting all of the knowledge of the Bible, but never experiencing the reality of the unconditional love of God the Father for us. And if we're ever going to be revolution, one sermon on love that I did last week, and God's love for you, listen, that's not going to change your life. But I tell you, if we don't make agreements that we're going to let God's love in, we'll never become changed people. You will never enjoy your Christian life. You'll be coming to church year after year after year doing this thing. But if you never, you know, you say you don't know how bad I am. Yes, I do. Well, not all the details, but I'd like to know. You say, you don't know how I messed up today. No, he does, and he loves you anyway. You don't know what I have to be forgiven. No, I don't, but he does, and it must be a lot because he went to the cross to do it. So, what we said last week is that going into the new year is not that we would try harder to do more for him, but that we would start off with our motivation, allowing, making an agreement that this year, as we start a new year, we're going to let his love sink into our life. We're going to listen to the gospel. We're going to preach it to ourselves. And we're going to let him transform us so that we can, well then, yeah, if we are loved, we will love. And we will become the revolutionaries that he intended us to be. That's the starting point. Well, somebody said all truly original ideas come from the Bible. That's an original idea that loved people love. Now, today I want to give you the next really original idea that will change us for a new year as a church. And if we can go in this direction, it'd be powerful. Revolutionary perspective. We talked about revolutionary motivation, revolutionary perspective for this year. And this is a perspective that can change our life. Now, before I give it to you, some of you will say, when I give you this perspective, some of you are saying, I know that. That's not new. That's old. And I've got this in my life. That's great. I just read 2 Peter through this week in my personal time with the Lord. And in the space of four verses, three times, Peter says, I want to stir you up by way of reminder. I want to remind you guys of something very important. And then he says it again. He says, my departure from this earth is imminent, as the Lord Jesus Christ has said to me. So I want to stir you up by way of reminder. I think back over my years as a father, I've reminded more than I've given new truth. You give the truth once and say, didn't we talk about that before? Over and over and over. So when I bring this up, some of you are going to say, this is not new. No, but it will change your life if you get it to the deeper level. And here's the perspective. Two part, really. The first part perspective is this. God owns everything. God owns everything. This perspective will change your life if you'll allow it to sink in. God owns everything. Now let's start with Scripture. Deuteronomy 8, verses 11 through 18. Moses says, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, this is just before the Israelites go into the promised land. Deuteronomy means second law. They're just about ready to go into the promised land, and he's giving them the law again so they'll remember. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, verse 13, and when your herds and your flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the